What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 12th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We are about a week away from you guys getting your hands on my pitcher dashboard inside the PL Pro dashboard. Cannot express enough. It is so fun, and it's the best way to learn about all these pitchers and stay on top of everything. It's part of the massive suite we're putting together for PL Pro members with the PL Pro dashboard, where you import your entire fantasy teams, get our rankings for your free agents, all of our PLV stats process, plus 20 million things. And we're just building it out toward 1.0, which launches next year. So if you want to get in on all of that, you got to get PL Pro. You can sign up today, 50% off at pitcherlist.com/premium with promo code dashboard for PL Pro yearly. That's 15% off. That's like $40 or something like that. Go and get it right now. And you get all of our preseason stuff as well. Martin Perez, he's kind of killing it. He had this amazing six inning outing and a three inning outing that was cut short by a rain delay. And what do you know? He goes another shutout performance. This is the fourth time in five games that he's allowed zero earned runs. It's kind of bonkers. Actually, it was a seven-inning game before this one. 10 innings across his last two. This was 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and just 2 strikeouts. Sure. 7 whiffs. Look, I'll make this very simple against the Mets here. Yeah, his changeup was really good. He's in a good rhythm. He didn't have as many strikes as you'd expect on his sinker and his cutter. Nor is curveball really. It was just changeups cooking against right-handers. That's fine. As long as he's keeping those sinkers and cutters outside the middle of the plate, we should be good with Martin Perez, and I'm totally fine rolling with him in leagues against the Twins and then the Brewers and then Rocky Road in the next three. I feel like that's pretty cheap wins along the way. Eury Pérez, what we liked about him early in the season is that the four-seamer is such a good foundation, and we felt that the secondaries would take off and really turn him into a stud. What we've seen is the four-seamer now have the sinker companion, and finally, we got the slider turning into the legit pitch with a 21% swing strike rate at 89 to 90 miles per hour. It's a harder one with less movement, but that works for us when you're throwing 98 mile per hour four seamers that are just incredible two-plane movement. He's got to locate those four seamers up a little bit more for me to get super hyped, because it was just a 5% swing strike rate on 43 thrown, which is very, very annoying. That's 2 whiffs on 43 of them. But he is working the sinker a little bit better now against right-handers and mixing it with the four-seamer. And that slider and even the sweeper is getting massively involved in a good way. Lots of strikes on those two. So I'm very encouraged by Eury Pérez. We should continue, obviously, to roll with him. Christopher Sanchez is trying to get his Aces Gonna Ace tag back. And yes, this was a much better game. 6 innings of shutout ball, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts with 15 whiffs. I will mention one of the bigger problems for Christopher Sanchez across the last couple starts or so has been his strike rate on his changeup. And this one wasn't so much better. We've seen in the last 5 games, 50%, 57%, 50%, 41%, and 52%. And keep in mind, for the entire season, it's a 62%. So it is the biggest issue really holding him back at the moment. Obviously, no walks here, and we're really happy about that. Thank you so much, Koufax, for causing outs on those balls in play and all that. But he's not out of the woods yet for Christopher Sanchez. He's going to get the Marlins next. That's cool with us. And this was fortunate to be in St. Louis. That's a very good matchup to have. Could be a little bit harder when he hosts them on the road, but obviously we're just going to be starting Christopher Sanchez. Andre Pallante against the Phillies did well. 6 innings, 0 runs. Another starter doing that. 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts, 5 whiffs. This was not believable, and I know I've been really down on Pallante despite allowing 300 runs across his last 4 games combined. It just is so... even the other ones, 14 whiffs, 11 whiffs, 12 whiffs, this was 5. And he didn't really get the four-seamer inside a ton to left-handers. The sinker just went up and too far a bit against righties for me to be believed that it's going to stick around to be effective. The slider was in the middle of the plate to right-handers. Yeah, I just... It's very, very questionable. And now he goes into Cincinnati and then goes into Philly and then hosts the Pirates. Okay, against the Pirates, that's not a good offense right now in St. Louis. That is fine on August 28th. But at Cincy, at Philly, I just can't do that for Pallante. Brian Wu looking much better. I mean, really, this is a big, big test for him because he was on the road finally. Yes, the Yankees have not been very good without Judge offensively. However, still, Brian Wu Bad on the road, right? Well, 5 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. He needed 92 pitches, not very efficient, that's a bit frustrating. He has gone ultra four-seamer lately, and not just that, instead of sitting 96, this was 97.4, almost 98, right? 97, 98, incredible. Not many whiffs, 75% strikes, so he just threw this and was like, I am going to do this. I'm going to just brute force my way through this problem. And yeah, it was successful. Now, it would have been nice if he didn't allow so many foul balls. That is 23 on 56 four-seamers. That is a 41% foul ball rate. Remember, 20% is generally what we expect. Oh my gosh, that is why he has a 74% two-strike rate, but just a put-away rate of 36%. That is about half of the batters that saw a two-strike count. Half 72% of all the batters he faced got to a two-strike count, and then only 36% of those did he put away, right? It's not good. We want that to be higher, and generally is for Brian Wu. I'm happy he got to two-strike counts, of course, in the first place. Blame those foul balls, and I think what will happen over time is that now that he's feeling much better with his four-seamer, we will see those other pitches come into the fold a lot more, and he'll be the guy that you want him to be. He goes into Houston next. I have no fear with that. Then he hosts the Cubs. That's cool. Goes at Toronto. You should feel fine with Brian Wu, and it should be a really good final 2 months. Sean Burke, after a really tough start against the Red Sox, where it just wasn't going really, his stuff wasn't there. He was able to tough it out, though. It was 4.1 innings of 2 runs there, and this was far better. 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts while hosting the Reds. 20 whiffs. We have not seen Sean Burke hit 20 whiffs since June 18th, and it matches the season high. Awesome to see. How does he do it? He goes four-seamers upstairs with a really good four-seamer. It's 17 to 18 inches of vert. It has cut action in it. It's 3 inches of cut, and 94, 95, which is actually sometimes we have seen 96 from Sean Burke. But he locates it beautifully upstairs. It's 6.8 feet of extension, which is slightly above average. And he has the breaking stuff underneath. The slider in this one was so good. I mean, I cannot emphasize enough how consistent he put that pitch down and away to right-handers. Exactly what you want to see. 45% swing strike rate on 20 thrown is amazing. 60% CSW, 90% strike rate. Absolutely incredible for Sean Burke here. And yeah, the curveball also working against lefties. I mean, 76% strikes. So having those secondaries underneath is a huge deal for him. And great start. I mean, only 8 cutters. Fine. I'm okay with that. You know, I didn't really need it, you know. So we're all cool there with Sean Burke. Of course, Brandon Young, I've become more interested in. I'm starting to believe actually that the four-seamer is better than I've been giving it credit. It's 94-95 with about 18 inches of vert. Similar to Sean Burke's, but a different arm angle that makes it a little less appealing, but still it's kind of similar. And the real question is, can you locate that upstairs and do you have the secondaries underneath it? With Sean Burke, he has the slider and the curveball consistently there for him. With Brandon Young, it really is just a splitter for the most part, and against lefties. We saw some struggles with him against right-handers. And this was against more left-handers. What do you know? The splitter was there for 65% strikes. We had a good game of 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. 14 whiffs, could not put guys away. But Brandon Young is actually someone I'm interested in now. And at 3.33 ERA, a 1.32 whip, I can imagine that not too many are in. They see the ERA, get scared away by the whip. Also a 19% strikeout rate, I should say. But I do think that there is something here. And over time, if Brandon Young continues to be in this rotation, which he should, I would hope that the slider, which is okay, it's 85 gyro. I mean, it is somewhat similar to Burke's in this way. So I think it's just an easy comp there. But the curveball at 75 is a real issue. I don't really think that's a stable one, which means that the splitter is the main secondary. And I wish it were a pair of breaking balls like Burke. You also need to see a cutter in there as well, hopefully at like 90, to get a little bit more stability with your strike rates. Walker Buehler has done it again. This was the first game of 6 innings since June 3rd, but he went 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Now 6 whiffs. I mean, this is the third straight game of single-digit whiffs. Actually, 6 is the highest of his last 3. And I obviously am not going to buy into it. Now, the cutter usage is still up. We're at 33% usage now. Not too many strikes with it. He throws 7 pitches. Cutter, sinker, slider, four-seamer, changeup, curveball, sweeper. All the hits are here. The only thing really missing is a splitter at this point. And I don't care. It's just like, here it is. And it's all average-ish, you know? And nothing really is exceptional inside of what he brings to the table. So I'm happy it's working out for him. I'm happy Koufax is kind. We have 13 outs on 16 balls in play here. But Walker Buehler, to me, just I can't buy into it. If you want to chase it against the Mets in Citi Field, fine, you do you. But remember, second game all year of 6 innings, which is kind of wild. Actually, I'm sorry, it is the third that he's had. I apologize, Buehler. You deserve better. But remember, last two were 4 and 4.1. Nolan McLain, speaking of the Mets, 6 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts, 5 whiffs here. Wait, 5 whiffs, 3 Ks. I'm glad that he survived, but I'm not impressed still. It's been so weird watching Nolan McLain since the middle of June. I mean, the end of June. Since that game on June 30th, he has a 2.28 ERA and a 27% K rate. Like, I should be absolutely loving this. But it's weird because it's an 8% walk rate, a 1.16 whip, and only 10 whiffs per game. I constantly watch him and I go, this doesn't really, like, make sense. It's a little effectively wild, I guess, but it isn't a polished arsenal. It is not a polished approach. And I'm still worried about it. I know that seems strange, but, and I know we're going to keep going after it. I don't know. McLain is still figuring things out. And maybe it's one of those situations where he's figuring it out and having success. And once he actually truly figures it out, he's going to really take off. And that whip becomes like 105 or something along those lines. I don't know. Blake Snell returned finally. Yes. Amazing. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts, 15 whiffs. Look, Hot Snell Summer is back. I am going to say it might be bad in Colorado. It is Coors, and he was just giving an interview about how much he hated pitching in Salt Lake City because it's just pitches don't go where he wants them to go. And what do you know? It's going to be elevated Coors. It is 84 pitches here, though, more than I expected. I did not expect him to go 6 innings. I did not expect him to have a 65% overall strike rate. It's just pretty cool to see him. Yes. Blake Snell blueprint all the way. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Of course, Ryan Weathers and Michael Wacha, Paul Skenes. Oh my gosh, Dylan Cease and Imanaga. Kyle Harrison, what is going on with that? We're going to talk about all of this and more after this break. Carson Wisenhunt went for the Giants here, and it was 5.2 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. Well, Wisenhunt, I'm happy he had a good game, but I don't believe this because, yes, it is the changeup doing well, and yes, the four-seamer and sinker did go above it against right-handers. That's cool. It's not enough, really. Like, this four-seamer is getting 62% strikes. Had a lot of called strikes. Thank you so much, Houston, for allowing that. His sliders to lefties, oh my gosh, all over the place. I'm not ready to trust this. Also, it's a 92-mile-per-hour four-seamer. Again, we're not seeing that velocity that we saw the very, very beginning in the spring. I feel like he needs a little bit more. So no, I'm not chasing Carson Wisenhunt. You have Ryan Weathers, and if you listen to the On the Corner podcast later this week, you'll hear me and Eric talk about Ryan Weathers and his sinker usage as he's started to use this against right-handers suddenly. This was a 19% usage against right-handers with 11 sinkers and only 6 four-seamers, which is awesome to say the least. Like, he's figuring out, okay, they're going on my four-seamer and getting home runs off of that, and I have to pull back on that in favor of the sinker. What's really funny is that the only run he allowed, guess what? It was a home run in the 6th off of a sinker to Randy Arozarena, and that's kind of hilarious. Regardless, it is still a productive start from Ryan Weathers. We're not seeing the whiffs that we want to see on the breaking pitches. I mean, between 25 sliders and 15 sweepers, that is 40 of these breaking balls. We had a total of 2 whiffs between them. Oof, man, especially against lefties. I mean, it's not the worst location I've seen for those breaking balls against lefties, but you got to do better than 2 over 40. The changeup, fortunately, is doing well. We have a 21% overall swing strike rate, 5 over 24. We got 3 outs in play on that. And yeah, we did get 5 over 6 outs in play on the slider. So it's not like it's doing nothing. It's just, hey, buddy, can you do a little bit more with that? But he is getting a ton of strikes with that sinker favoring a lot against lefties. It is working. So we keep rolling with Ryan Weathers. Michael Wacha, I mean, he survived the Dodgers. You know, he almost did it even better than this. It was a 6.2 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. Careful Icarus, as the final two runs were in the 7th inning. He had it with two outs to a man on second, and he just could not get into the dugout. Two more hits, and then he got relieved. So this was one earned run in 6 with 5 hits. Actually, rather, 4 hits, 0 walks. That's pretty cool. And unfortunately, he just could not seal the door in that 7th frame. But Michael Wacha has been an absurd Spider-Man. I mean, a 3.46 ERA, 1.15 whip, 19% carry. This is like the best Toby. That is what the Spider-Man is, Toby Maguire. But honestly, Tom Holland is kind of amazing. He's the best Toby, which is Toby Maguire. There you go. Not the best Spider-Man. Okay. Paul Skeens went against the Marlins and he allowed a home run, a solo shot on a 95 mile per hour four-seamer upstairs. And that's not supposed to be what Skeens does, right? It's supposed to be 97, 98. He did not hit 97 once in this game. Very, very startling, of course, to see it. Lots of discourse around it. You can say he's pitching hurt. You can say X, Y, and Z. They pulled him after 65 pitches. But here's the thing I have to mention. I'm not surprised that the Pirates want in any way to just protect him. Like 65 pitches, 5 innings, it's August. His velocity has been going down. Yeah, of course, you pull him a bit. There's a lot of talk about everyone thinks he's hurt or he's, I don't know. There's some things about his weight, which I don't believe. Long story short, it's Paul Skeens, who among all of this ridiculousness this year, still has a sub-4 ERA, 1.12 whip, and a 30% K rate. Right, and I know that that's not exactly what it is for the last X amount of days, and I totally understand that. He has not had a shutout game since May 12th, and he had already had 4 of those by then. So I understand all of this. He's still getting whiffs. He had 22 whiffs on the 25th against the Cubs. And that was a 5 run game, yes, but 11 strikeouts. He's still getting those. 7, 8, 11, 7, 6, like... You want to start Paul Skeens every time. Okay, cool. Ryan Johnson is still here, and he might not be here for much longer, as Yusei Kikuchi could be coming back damn next week, so whatever. And it's not like we want to go after Ryan Johnson anyway. 4.1 innings of 1 and run. 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. I'm happy for you. Drew Anderson, 70 pitches in this one, which means he could be stretched out to like 80, 85 in the next one, but do you really want to do that? It's 4 hit innings of 1 and run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks, 6 whiffs. I'm not seeing enough from the changeup that is a split change that should be the real driver of his success doing much. It is a 30% strike rate here. Oh boy. Like 90-91 is cool. It's a splitter, really. And that's great, but you can't do so little with it. It's just, I can't possibly buy into that. Nick Martinez, I'm really happy for him because he went 9 innings. He went the full complete game. It was a 12-4 game. So he allowed 4 earned runs. 2 came in the 9th. No joke. He could not get out of that one. It was 3 straight base hits for 2 runs. Then he got 2 more outs and closed the door. I'm glad that the Rays gave him that opportunity. It is a 14% strikeout rate, guys. 14%. Oh my gosh, but a 2.74 ERA and a 1.09 whip. It's the greatest Vargas rule we've seen in a long time. Yes, I think it's better than A-Rod's. I'm going to tell you right now because I think A-Rod is better than a 14% strikeout rate. Absolutely incredible. You just got to keep going. That's it. You don't really have a choice. I've seen some people curious about Mitch Brett, and it was against Rocky Road here, where it was 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. And look, the last two before this were 5 innings of 1 earned run and then 7 innings of 0 earned runs, right? And everything before those was not worth talking about. It wasn't really exciting whatsoever. He was getting stretched out. But even when he had 84 pitches, it was 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 8 hits against the Athletics at home in Chase Field. And then at Washington, it was 5 innings of 5 earned runs and 12 base runners, including 5 walks. So why am I so down on Mitch Brett? Well, he was walking a lot of guys before this one. 5-4-3 in the last 3 games before this. He had 9 strikeouts against the Padres. Absolute anomaly because he only had 8 whiffs. And yes, he has never had a game above 10 whiffs so far in his career. His swing strike rate is 10% in those best games in the peaks, but it's 8% overall for the year. What does he do? Of course, that's what really matters. You know, I don't go just based on the results. Obviously, you know me by now. What does Mitch Bratt do? He tries to be a swatch, right? He has 14 changeups in this one, 22% usage against right-handers, and it did well. He had a lot of strikes on it. Okay. Curveball and four-seamer, what are they doing? The curveball is a 79 mile per hour pitch that floats into the zone. It's not really well spotted. It was on the outer half, and it did get three outs for him. Okay, and a strikeout. Right, one whiff on 20 thrown, fine. The four-seamer is bad. It is 90-91. It does not have enough vert for all of it. It's an average arm angle. Like, I don't buy this whatsoever. And it could be something where he gets his four-seamer inside and goes a little bit on the cut action side. He does have a slider that's kind of like a cutter in movement, but it's at 86, 87. What I'm trying to tell you is that the stuff is just so meh, and he has a history of low strike rates. Like, this was a 73% strike rate game, which is very strange for Mitch Bratt. He had needed a 42% O-swing to make that happen, and I don't buy this. This was rocky road, okay? Now he goes at Boston. They like lefties more than they do righties. I don't want to do this, okay? Patrick Sandoval, the Irish Panda, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. Whoa, that is cool. And 8 hits and 3 walks. And that is a terrible whip. And that really is the story of Patrick Sandoval. Always has been. He could have a good ERA. And right now it's a 330. But it's likely going to be with a very bad whip. And right now it's a 170. Strikeouts can be there. 21% for the season this year. That's what it has been a little bit in the past. Maybe a little bit more at times. Because the changeup and the slider are generally decent whiff pitches. They were not here. The changeup was a 43% strike rate. Oh my. But we did see 18 whiffs in Sacro Verde on the 29th of July. Right, so just 2 starts before this was a 20% overall swing strike rate. That is what we're hoping for, but he's gone 12 whiffs and 10 whiffs of the other 2 highs that we've seen since he's returned to the rotation. If you say, oh, that's because of the pitch counts, 84, 92, 89, 84 in the last 4. It was 76 and for that one. That's actually the one where he had 10 whiffs. So I really cannot endorse this whatsoever. I don't believe that Patrick Sandoval will have the right command of that changeup and slider on a given night. And I'll continue to tell you that the four-seamer, which is now down to 92, 93, not like the 94 and to hopefully 95, the four-seamer and the sinker are just too hittable. I don't think those are good pitches at all. Tomoyuki Sagano got his 12th win. Oh my gosh, he's 12-5. He's 12-5. Thank you so much for the Rockies for scoring 2 in the top of the 6th and then 1 more in the 7th after Sagano got relieved after the 6th. I'm just happy for him. That's all I'm going to say. I mean, you can maybe chase wins when he's on the road. He's gotten wins at Arizona, at Milwaukee, at Athletics, at the Angels, at Cincinnati. That's only 5 of the wins. Oh my gosh. Wow. Maybe it's... Do what you want with Sugano. It's awesome. I love it. I hope he gets the 15. Cody Bradford, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? His four-seamer is still at high extension. Now it's up to 7.2, which is cool. I love that. 16 inches of vert, and it's 88. He didn't get whiffs. Why? Because he wasn't really throwing it high enough, but the changeup was effective inside the zone this time. 67% strikes on that. Look, he's a swatch before he was a swatch. You know this. So he will get the Athletics in Sacro Verde next. Fine, don't want that. But then he'll host the Angels again. And not host them again, but he'll face the Angels in Arlington. And I think I'm down for that. There was really just one bad inning where he got singled out. It was a single, actually 2 singles, hit by pitch, and a double that led to all 3 runs. Okay. I think that Bradford is better than his rostership rate, which I'm sure is under 10%. You have Dylan Cease against the Red Sox. This is why Dylan Cease is just so annoying to rank every year. Because overall for the season, like, I get it. 240 ERA, 107 whip, 36% K rate, unreal. He only has 7 wins, by the way, in 22 games now. And he went 5 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 7 Ks. And I'm just 61% strikes. It is so frustrating. He tried to incorporate the changeup and the curveball 20 times between them, 30% strikes. Okay, that's 6 over 20 strikes on those. Really frustrating. So that means he has to do more with the slider and the four-seamer again. That leads to inefficiencies and walks and so on and so forth. So it goes. Aces gonna ace, I guess. You know, what are you gonna do? Hunter Brown, 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Might be the most disappointing game. I mean, we'll talk about Kyle Harrison, of course, and Imanaga, but I might label it as this. Why? Because the four-seamer is not back. It had a game where it was looking like it used to, and now, once again, 52% strikes. The vert also came down. Instead of like 16 to 17, it's 15 and change. And come on, something is still wrong with Brown. He cannot locate and execute his fastballs like he used to still. I mean, at least the sinker is there. 80% strike rate, but then again, like zero whiffs and 42% called strikes. I'm really happy for that. Thank you so much, San Francisco. Oh, right. It was against the Giants. I should mention that in Oracle Park. He had all the gifts here. And the curveball, which is generally filthy. I mean, 84 miles per hour at a negative 15 drop and negative 6 sweep. That's really good. Only 56% strikes. Like, he was inconsistent with that one, too. So, Hunter Brown, you've got a good schedule. You're going to host the Athletics and the Angels, not in that order, in the next two. And then go into Citi Field. Like, that should be good, but come on, get it together. Shota Imanaga could also be the most disappointing start of yesterday. Why? Because he went 4.2 innings of 400 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks, but with 3 home runs. So the home run problem is back, and the velocity, oh no, 90.7. What? Oh, Imanaga, please. There was a really high sweeper that was for a home run that I don't like against CJ Abrams. There was a low velocity, 90.6 to Jacob Young over the middle of the plate, and then there was a splitter at 1-0. That Dylan Cruz also hit down and away. That one, I'm like, oh, come on, man. You hit that one out? Seriously, with 2 outs and a 1-0 count? Look, he's still getting whiffs, 13 whiffs here. Yes, the velocity is a big deal because it is going to, it's going to signify how well they're going to be on the splitter and if they're going to be able to launch those four-seamers at all. We did see also a dip throughout the game here, pretty much 91 to 92, and then around 91-ish, like 90 to 91 for the next two innings, and then the fourth down to 88, 89, actually. The low pitch there was a sinker at 88, which isn't really fair. It's really more like 89 with the four-seamers, and then we're still at 89, 90 in the fifth. So Imanaga, we've seen him dip down in the past, doesn't mean that he's going to just stay here now. And he almost made it 5 innings. He almost made it 5 innings, 300 runs here. There's a home run from Cruz in that frame. He also hit a guy in that one. So I'm just going to hope that he gets it back together, Imanaga. I know, very disappointing. Also disappointing is the return of Nick Lodola. It was a still ill. 70 pitches, though. 4 innings, 4 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts for Lodola. The main thing I keep going to with Lodolo is that he needs rhythm. He needs consistent starts to be able to locate everything that he wants as he wants to. The four-seamer command wasn't there. The curveball command wasn't there. It's one of those days. So he did have some really nice breakers in there, sure. But I think I'm avoiding Lodolo until I see a start where it's like, yes, you have it. You're good. It could easily be the Marlins. It would be at Arizona and then at San Francisco after. It's very possible, but I feel like he always needs to rev the engine first. You have Tanner Bibee, also disappointing, but he did get a little careful Icarus. He allowed his fifth and final earned run in the seventh. It was an inherited runner, sure, but he did have a run in the sixth, sorry, in the second, and then he had 3 on 4 straight hits, actually 4 hits on 5 batters in a rough fifth inning. But really, when it comes down to Tanner Bibee, the changeup is still being really effective. I don't understand how it was as effective as it was against righties. He got strikeouts and outs and whiffs on these four of these changeups up and in. All of them. None of them were a ball. I don't understand that. And the changeup was kind of in the zone and out of the zone. Not nearly the command I saw in the previous start, but the cutter actually was located pretty well against right-handers. It's frustrating because he is leaning more into this sinker. He's added 4 inches of drop on that sinker to be now 5 to 6 inches of drop as opposed to like 8 or 9. And then you don't have the massive boom in horizontal. It's only at 15 right now, not like 16, 17. I don't know. It's been just a hipster experience with Tanner Bibee. It is a 4 ERA, 1.13 whip, 20% K rate, right? That is a 15-team Toby, Totally understand. He is 4-12 this year. Oh my gosh. So do what you want with Tanner Bibee. I'm going to still call him a hipster. This is a step back in my view. This was against the Tigers too. Now against the Padres. Then Coors, oof. Bailey Ober against the Orioles. Yeah, he's still throwing. Guess what? 87 miles per hour. Don't do it. 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. I mean, really, I don't need to tell you more about this. I'm just not interested. Mason Barnett, I think, has interesting stuff. A 94-95 with a cut 4-seamer. But this is actually something I brought up with Eric on the podcast quickly. I think it's a shape that around 94-95 is bad for right-handers. It's something that we see with Kyle Bradish. It's something that we see with Hunter Dobbins a little, actually. And someone else that we brought up on the podcast, so you gotta go and listen to it. But it is not ideal. And yeah, this is a wait and see in a big way. I do wonder what we'll see next year, really, for Mason Barnett. He's a young gun. 4 innings of 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Yes, he did get an error in there to lead off the game that led to a 2-run shot from Caminero. And then he got 2 more home runs later on, but yeah, no. Jake Irvin is throwing harder. That's cool. It's up at least a tick. And it is all bad. 3.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. The sweeper and curveball are interesting to me because the curveball is at 79 and then the sweeper's at 84. Now, back when Irvin was interesting, it was when the curveball was on point. Like, it was killing it. And he was also at 94 on his fastballs. Now, 94 is there, but the curveball, well, 7 thrown. So, yeah, obviously out there. And, of course, Kyle Harrison, absurdly disappointing. I mean, I cannot express that enough, and I can talk about how the game flowed or whatever, but really, he did not eclipse 94 in a single inning as far as average velocity goes. That is the concerning part. He did hit 95.5, fine, but sitting 93.3 when you have not gone under 94 for a game all season in your second game back from an injury stint? Nielsen, yeah, that's not good. That really isn't good. And 53% strike rate on the curveball didn't support this fastball that was not nearly as effective. And then you had few changeups and sinkers. I mean, 7 changeups thrown in this for a few strikes. 4 out of 7 strikes here. So not feeling good about Kyle Harrison. I will mention, at least with the curveball, it does kind of look like he has a sweeper and a curve. There is one that's more lateral and does not have massive drop to it, while there is one that has about 8 inches of drop to it. So there's one that's around like 0-inch drop and one is that's 8. They both look to be roughly around the same velocity though, and I'm curious to see when or how he is manipulating that, if it's something having to do with as the game progressed. It does not look like it's about that, and I'm just going to check really quickly for everybody here if that's something about lefty versus righty. It does look like it is. We see more of those sweepers, sweeper action against lefties, and that one's at 82, where we saw 50% strikes, and then against righties, it's more at 81 with bigger drop. Okay, so that is something to know. At least that's kind of interesting with Kyle Harrison. Regardless, not fun. So good luck everybody with that, and I hope I hope he's okay, but it does feel like something's wrong, and it's a questionable start against Seattle next. I just hope that we get at least 94 on that 4-seamer. If we do, then okay, we are back in business. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock. I may bounce below, and your strikeouts high.